Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, and today is our holiday extravaganza show. We'll be talking about favorite holiday movies, as well as upcoming releases during the holiday season, and recommended family-friendly DVDs. Our two guests are Nell Minow, the famous movie mom, and Jazz Shaw, who hosts Midstream Radio on BTR and shares our passion for movies. Of course, Nikki Starr, my wonderful producer, is also here to help with the chat and to chime in whenever the spirit moves her. And speaking of holidays and Nikki Starr, with Thanksgiving coming up very soon, I think in little over a week, I wonder what she's going to be doing for Thanksgiving dinner, because I know that she is a vegetarian like I am. So the important question is, Nikki, what are you fixing for Thanksgiving?
Everything but the turkey.
Everything but the turkey.
You know what actually happens in my family is that my mom will make the turkey and barely anybody touches it because there's so many other really good sides. So
I agree to that because I like the all the fixings.
I like it all.
Yeah, yes. You know, the potatoes, the sweet potatoes, the potatoes, the Waldorf salad, the pumpkin pie, everything. I'm with you with everything but the turkey. And I really love Thanksgiving because I don't have to do any cooking at all, and my kids do it all. And so I'm very, very thankful for that. And there's just not too much pressure at Thanksgiving like during the Christmas season. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm also thankful for you, Nikki, for being such a great help for the show. And I'm thankful that both of our guests are here now. Yay! So I want to welcome them. But ladies first, this is Nell Minow's second time on our show, and we're so happy she could be with us again. Nell,
I'm glad to be back.
Oh, yeah. I just was so excited when she said yes, that she could make it. She writes as the movie mom for BeliefNet, and she's been featured in, listen to this, USA Today, Parents, the Chicago Tribune, well, too many publications to name, but she's also been profiled in the New York Times, Forbes, and Ladies Home Journal. Her book, The Movie Mom's Guide to Family Movies, helps parents select films for their children. Welcome back to Movie Addict Headquarters, Nell. I don't know how you find the time to do all of this.
Well, I've been very lucky, and of course I've been doing it for quite a while. I started my website in 1995.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just Fred Flintstone and me back in those days.
That's right. I remember 1995 very well. Well, we're just so happy to have you back. And we're also pleased that Jazz Shaw could be with us again. He's never too busy now to talk about movies, despite his work as assistant editor of The Moderate Voice, and he hosts his BTR show and writes for the Middle Earth Journal. So, hi, Jazz.
Hi, how are you? And yes, I'm never too busy to talk about movies because, well, I have no life.
Well, movies are life, right, Nell?
They certainly are, and they're a very, very nice life to have, indeed.
I think so too. I'm really pleased with that kind of a life. And Jazz, you're always welcome here, you know, and you've been so supportive, calling in practically every week, and I know you're picking up a lot of ideas as to new movies to take a look at. But
oh, absolutely. I was one of the people who felt the world changed when Netflix came out, and I was one of the first subscribers, and I have just drowned them ever since. They got a great selection of the really old stuff, which I like. And now that the election is over, my burden has dropped a lot on the political coverage, so I have more time, you know, to spend with you and to watch some movies and catch up.
Well, Jazz, tell me, what is it that you have at this very moment? What is in your red envelopes right now?
Oh, well, that's going to be a bit embarrassing, I'm afraid. I have two of the discs from season two of Dexter.
Good.
And
I love Dexter. He's my favorite serial killer.
Oh, yeah, he's my favorite serial killer, too. And actually, I don't have the third envelope because it's in transit right now, but I believe the one that's supposed to be arriving is Betty Jo's going to kill me because I forgot the name. It's that one, the one that just came out on DVD, the recent movie about the little robot.
Wally.
Wally, yes. Wally's on the way.
One of the best films of the year, I
definitely
think. Definitely.
And you know what's funny? Because this has been a year where there have been very, very few romantic films. We've had, let's see, Knights and Rodanthe and Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. But honestly, the best romance of the year has probably been Wally.
I agree with you on that. They certainly did hit it off, didn't they? They were a great couple.
Spoil it for me. I didn't see it in the theaters.
All right. Anyway, our topic today is holiday films, so we better get back to that. And I'm just so eager to hear which movies you selected as your favorites and why. And let's start with you, Nell. Do you have a top five picked?
Yeah, you know, I did a feature last year that I looked up again before I called in today because I wanted to set the frame with that. I wrote an essay last year called 12 Great Christmas Movies That Don't Feature Clarence the Angel, Bing Crosby, Tiny Tim, or a Leg Lamp. Okay, because those are the obvious choices. So having said that, I will say that unquestionably my favorite Christmas movie is pretty much any version of A Christmas Carol. I am just a huge, huge fan of A Christmas Carol. I love Charles Dickens, and I think it's just a perfect story. And I love every possible version of it, including the Mr. Magoo version, the MGM version, the classic British version, which is mostly usually called Scrooge with Alistair Sim. But, you know, even, you know, a Diva's Christmas Carol with Vanessa Williams, and I love them all. I think they're just great. And I love, you know, It's a Wonderful Life and White Christmas and A Christmas Story and all of that. But, you know, you have to expand your horizons every once in a while. So I had to come up with 12 Christmas films that were not those.
Oh, that's right, because we think about those that you mentioned so much and forget about some others. So I'm glad that you're going in a new direction here.
Okay, so here are some of my other choices. One is, you know, some of these are a little esoteric, but just bear with me on it. Will Vinton's Claymation Christmas is one of the funniest Christmas movies ever made. You know, he's the guy that did the California Raisins. And,
yes,
you know, before Wallace and Gromit, he sort of pioneered a lot of that claymation stuff. And he does, particularly there's one short with the Carol of the Bells that is probably the three funniest minutes ever put on film. I just absolutely love it, and I actually put the entire 3 minutes on my website. So I really, really like that. And then, of course, you have to have, you know, sort of the cheese old classics, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and The Year Without a Santa Claus and Frosty the Snowman, you know, those ones that sort of take us back to the 1960s. And then you remember The Bishop's Wife with David Niven and Loretta Young?
Oh, of course, of course.
And who plays the angel?
Is that Cary Grant?
It is. Sexiest angel in history.
Oh, wow. Well, Denzel Washington played
that he'd write in the remake
other,
with
yeah.
Whitney Houston. And okay, and then here's another one that's a little esoteric, but I really like it. Come to the Stable. This has got nuns also. This has got Loretta Young and Celeste Holm, and they're a pair of nuns from a French convent who want to build a children's hospital. And it's a very, very, very sweet story. I also like The Nativity Story, which just came out a couple of years ago with Keisha Castle Hughes from Whale Rider, and Christmas in Connecticut with Barbara Stanwyck.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one, where she plays kind of a faux Martha Stewart who doesn't really know anything at all about housekeeping, and she has to put it all together and do, and for her editor, and do a real Christmas, and of course, everything goes wrong.
That's
course,
a great one.
A Charlie Brown Christmas. I love that. That's just so sweet, that wonderful, poignant music with the little kids skating, and I love the way that it's from the kids' perspective, and, you know, the adults go, wah, 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 you just can't hear what they say. And then this is not really a Christmas story, but it's a winter story, is The Snowman, just a beautiful fantasy about a little boy who's befriended by a snowman. And, of course, you can't forget Home Alone. You can't forget how the Grinch Stole Christmas. And then another one that is hard to find but is really, really, really good is Truman Capote's A Christmas Memory, which is based on his own memories. It stars Geraldine Page as his elderly relative, who was the only person in his life who really cared about him, and it is just beautifully, beautifully, beautifully filmed.
That's a terrific list, Nell, and I know that Nikki is very pleased with that list, because we were talking before the show about favorite Christmas and holiday movies, and right away she mentioned Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and Frosty the Snowman. So, and
yeah.
I had no idea that they were going to be on their list. But those are your two favorites, right, Nikki?
Yes, I love it. I that claymation, anything from when they first started out.
Yeah.
I love them. I just love them.
Those are
fine.
I just
think they're beautiful.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're so much fun to watch. I just think they're just darling. So so if that's up on your website, 3 minutes.
Yes,
three
that 3 minutes, the 3 minutes of The Carol of the Bells. Trust me, just go look up Christmas movies, and you'll find it from last year, and you will not be sorry. It's just great.
So we need to go to beliefnet.com.
Yes, or you just go to moviemom.com. It'll take you right there.
Moviemom.com, that's the easiest to remember. So right after the show, I'm going to go look at those, at the Christmas bells.
All right. Anybody that can't find that, just send me an email at moviemom@moviemom.com, and I'll show you where it is.
And that's an easy email to remember, too.
Good.
Great. Well, I wonder if Jazz agrees with your list, or what he thinks about it, and what movies he'll pick as his favorites. Jazz, what are you going to go with?
We were just discussing that in the chat. And by the way, I will point out that the chat was kicking off on films before we even got started discussing it, and the leg lamp came up before we even began talking about holiday films. So apparently that's just iconic for everyone.
Absolutely.
Not so much on my list, but I just did want to say that showed up in the chat. I also said everybody was going to hate my list.
Okay.
It
better not have Bad Santa on it.
No, it does not have. I never.
All right,
even
in that case,
Bad Santa.
Your list is okay
the
with me.
Were so
yeah,
horrible,
I would have banned him if he put Bad Santa on his.
No,
ahead,
I saw
Santa.
The reviews and I just steered clear of that. At number 5 on my list, I have The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Great movie.
Which was just, I realize that, you know, it's not a live action film, but it was fabulous. I've tried to leave all the cartoons off, but I couldn't skip that one. Number 4,
one.
I picked Holiday Inn, which, you know me, I just like the classic films, and that's always been one of the good ones. You knew there was going to be a couple on my list.
Of course.
Number 3, and I know it got some horrible reviews. I don't remember how you reviewed it, Betty Jo, but I really liked Jim Carrey's take on The Grinch. I thought that was great.
Oh, me too. Me too.
I liked it too. I thought it was, you know, people really, there's a lot of hate out there for that movie, but I thought it was visually very exciting, and I thought they did a nice job with the story.
Oh,
me too. I really enjoyed it. Second
on
my list, going all the way back to my childhood, one of the first ones that we watched every year, and my mother always made sure that we watched it, was Miracle on 34th Street.
Yeah.
To this day, I can still sit down and watch it anytime it comes on TV.
Me too. You know, has there ever been a more beautiful little girl than Natalie Wood?
Oh,
exactly.
And a better Santa Claus than Edmund Gwenn.
Who got an Oscar for that role. Yeah, and I would say to everybody, listen to me carefully. Stay away from the remakes. Don't go anywhere near them.
Richard Attenborough as Kris Kringle.
Yeah, not good. They're not good at all.
The one you're probably going to hate, by the way, and I'll just finish up,
right.
Because the number one holiday movie on my list, and go ahead and get up your rotten fruit and your cans to throw at me, was Scrooged.
No.
That's about my favorite holiday movie of all time.
Yeah, I had to
even let it edge out Miracle on 34th Street because
you know what?
I love Bill Murray in that film.
I have already said that I'm a total sucker for every single version of A Christmas Carol, including
yes.
that one. It, you know, there is some very, very funny stuff in there, particularly the parodies of the TV shows. But it gets a little bit much for me, you know, when he keeps getting hit over the head with a toaster or whatever. But I do like that movie, and I think you've got a really nice list there. I think that's
it
a great list.
What about Carol? What about?
I'm really embarrassed because one of my favorite moments. I don't remember the actress, and I feel terrible. I'm drawing a blank. Who played the little Tinkerbell fairy type character?
Carol Kane.
Thank you. And when she comes up and hits Bill Murray with the toaster, I'm that crude, and I like.
You love that, huh? Okay.
I don't have physical comedy that much. That
well, you know, I just want to tell you, Jazz, that.
In the film.
I have to tell you, Jazz, that there was a neurological study done earlier this year about the different ways that men and women react to violence in films, and they have actually different parts of their brain that respond. So that may be – that explains, like, the Three Stooges, and it explains the conversation we just had where the first thing I said I didn't like was the first thing you said you did like.
Exactly. So
yeah.
Maybe that says
well.
A lot about me and probably frightening things. You might not want to have me on the show anymore, Betty Jo.
Oh, never. I liked your list. I liked your list
a lot.
Yeah,
I thought that was a very good list.
I do, and I have five, but it's certainly a very traditional list. But because Thanksgiving is coming before Christmas, I like to talk about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. That was that movie back in 1987 with John Candy and Steve Martin, where they played the two men trying to get from New York to Chicago for Thanksgiving. And then
everything happens.
A blizzard causes the Chicago airport to shut down, and so they land, somewhere in Kansas. And then these two guys find themselves together in a motel. They're together in a train, and John Candy's character just irritates the heck out of Steve Martin, and they played off each other so brilliantly. I thought they had the greatest comic chemistry together, and I was sorry that they didn't get a chance to make more films together.
It was a very good one. I thought the middle of it got a little bit slow for me, but the ending of that movie, particularly where it got very sappy and sentimental, I loved the ending.
And at least we have this to show how great those two actors were as co-stars. And mine are in no particular order. These are the five that I like the best, the five holiday movies that I like the best. You've already mentioned The Grinch, which after seeing The Grinch, I forgot all about Jim Carrey as Ace Ventura, Andy Kaufman, or those in Living Color characters that he played. And I'll always admire him most for his grinchiness because he just was
He did
perfect.
A wonderful job. And I thought that they brought Dr. Seuss's pictures to life beautifully.
Oh, the set decoration, the artistry in that film, and the humor, and the way they sort of were faithful to Dr. Seuss's story about the power of a child's goodness and innocence to bring about redemption.
I want to share with you guys and the readers, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we very recently just adopted a second dog, a little tiny little gray schnauzer, and we named him Max specifically.
Oh, are you going to tie antlers to his head?
Yeah,
we're
get a little.
Do it for this Christmas and take pictures. Yes, but
That is great. Well, so and then you mentioned that you like any Charles Dickens Christmas Carol movie.
Yeah.
So on my list, you didn't mention this one, but it's my favorite version of A Christmas Carol, and it's the Muppet Christmas Carol.
With Michael Caine.
Michael Caine as Scrooge.
Michael Caine is good, and as long as we're talking about other versions, I have to also mention, of course, the Disney version, which has got Mickey Mouse as Bob Cratchit and Scrooge McDuck playing his
namesake. I remember that.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because today is Mickey Mouse's 80th birthday.
Is that right? Thank you for telling me.
Yes, he's older than I am.
Wow.
And so we should have, you know, sang happy birthday or something at the beginning of the show.
He doesn't look a day over 50.
No, he doesn't. He's in pretty good shape. And then I liked very much Meet Me in St. Louis, that 1944 movie with Judy Garland where she sings
Have Yourself.
Merry Little Christmas. Oh, that just
so poignant.
Haunts me, so poignant. And also singing The Boy Next Door, the Trolley song.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so family-oriented and shows us how important family is around the holidays and takes us back to a simpler time, the beginning of the 1900s. It's just a captivating
it
movie.
Is. In fact, I just had that as my movie of the week for Halloween because it's got such a great Halloween section of the movie.
Well, it does with little Margaret O'Brien.
Yeah,
it is
great. But now, having said all of our lists, I
have one more.
Oh,
one
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
A Christmas Story, because I know.
Well, that was the one I was going to bring up.
Oh, we think alike.
Yeah.
That's the best family Christmas comedy of all time.
It is.
I never get tired of watching it, and it's a good thing because it's on TV. You know,
24
so
hours
yeah,
on Christmas.
Exactly. But at our house, it wouldn't be Christmas without watching A Christmas Story. So that
it
would
is,
be my five, yeah.
It is a great, great movie, and, you know, all you have to do is say leg lamp in our house and everybody falls on the floor. There are so many memorable moments in that movie and so much heartbreak, you know, when he finds out what the decoder ring says to say. And, you know, it's so full. But to me, it has one of the best endings of any movie ever, not just Christmas movies, but any movie, because what I love about it is that everything has gone wrong for this family, and they end up at a Chinese restaurant on Christmas, and they laugh. And you know that, you know, that's going to be one of their favorite family memories. You know that for every Christmas where everything goes right, for the rest of their lives, they're going to bring it up fondly and say, remember that Christmas when we ended up at the Chinese restaurant? And I love the way the family handles that, because at Christmas time, we're under such pressure. We see all of these, you know, Christmas specials with Kathy Lee Gifford and their perfectly harmonized carols and their perfectly wrapped presents and everything. And to see and we also see dysfunctional family movies where everybody's screaming at each other. We got a bunch of those coming out this year. But to see a family where things don't go well and they still stick together and love each other and find it funny rather than tragic, I think is wonderful.
I thought she was describing my home movies from my childhood for a minute.
right. Well, we have some fantastic movies on our list, and I don't think we could go wrong recommending any of the movies that each one of us has on our list. But you mentioned about your DVD picks, and I know that the listeners would like to hear some of your kid-friendly or family-friendly DVD releases to recommend. You did that on the last show when you were here, and we enjoyed that. And I'm wondering if you have anything new to add. No?
I do. Well, of course, WALL-E, which came out this week, is a great one. And I was working on a really fun project this afternoon that comes very close to what we're talking about here, which is that a number of different movie blogs have all agreed that each of them is going to publish a list of 26 movies, one for every letter of the alphabet. And I had a lot of fun putting that together today, and we could each come up with our own theme, other than just meeting the requirement of doing one for each letter. And my theme was, these are movies that are not necessarily in my top 100 list, but they're certainly in my top 200 list, and they're all great movies for families to watch. So let me tell you what some of them are. They're not, you know, they're not classics necessarily, but they're all great movies. And one of them is a movie that I think is one of the wittiest romantic comedies ever made. It took me 3 times seeing it to get all the jokes. And that's Ball of Fire with Gary Cooper and Barbara Stanwyck.
Right.
I love that movie, written by Billy Wilder. And you know, in a way, it is right up there with movies like Bringing Up Baby and Something Like It Hot. It's just a wild comedy and very, very clever. So I like that one a lot. Another movie that was on my list for the letter E, I had The Emperor's New Groove, a movie that I thought was really neglected when it came out, but it's a refreshingly unpretentious animated film about a spoiled prince, and it really never gets the Disney love that it deserves, but I think it's really worth a look. And since we're talking about holiday movies, I'm going to mention a New Year's movie. There aren't very many New Year's movies.
Right.
But this one is Holiday with Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn. And it's about
a
wealthy girl who falls for her sister's fiancé, and it is just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful movie.
I love that film.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for bringing that one up. I'd forgotten completely about it.
Well, that's exactly what was fun for me about putting together this list. I didn't want to do obvious ones, like didn't want to do, you know, Casablanca and Gone with the Wind and all of that. I wanted to do movies that might not be the first ones to come to people's minds but are really, really worth watching.
Well, those three are wonderful. I had one that surprised me that just came out recently from Walt Disney, and I thought, oh, here comes another one of these. I've got to watch it because I have to review it. And my husband said, oh, do we have to watch this? And I said, yes, sit down. If I have to watch it, you have to watch it. And it's Tinkerbell.
Oh, yeah, it's a cute one.
Believe it or not, Tinkerbell has her own movie now, but of course it went straight to DVD, but I recommend that for, you know, for family viewing, because my husband and I were just spellbound with the animation and the charming story and the little bonuses that the DVD
And for the first
had.
Time ever, Tinkerbell talks.
And that's right, she talks. That's
like,
right.
Yeah.
She does.
It's
and
funny
she just,
that Nell mentioned Casablanca, because I was just going to say I was overlooking at the blog briefly while you were chatting, and somebody had put a comment in over there that said, I think you should spend the entire interview focusing on the parallels between Casablanca and the Three Amigos. I don't think we're going to go there, but thanks.
Yeah, I think we can try Casablanca into about anything.
That is such a special topic. I think it deserves a show of its own.
I think it does. Well, I'm making a note of that. We should check with Nikki now to see if there are any questions or comments or favorite movies that people want to bring up from the chat. Nikki, anything that we should talk about coming from the chat?
Well, we have actually. I love Jazz because he just said in the chat room, "Put in your favorite movies," and so here are some of the favorite movies.
Oh,
Polar
great!
Express.
Thank you.
I know. Polar Express, Elf, Holiday.
Elf.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Let me see what else.
You mean the Holiday. That would be the Kate Winslet and Cameron Diaz movie. I have to say, that's not a good movie, but every time it comes on TV, I watch it. I just can't help myself, and I just get very caught up with it. And, you know, we have a little shorthand for it at our house. I say to my husband, Mr. Napkinhead, and he knows.
Me and St. Louis got another vote in the chat also, by the way.
Oh, I'm glad.
Yes.
Oh, great, great. Well, those are great. I don't agree with you about the Holiday now. I like that film a lot because I couldn't believe that I would be enjoying Jack Black in a romantic role.
Well, I don't
and
want to sound like the Grinch, but here's the problem. The movie doesn't make any sense at all. They're like, they could suspend the laws of gravity, and it would make more sense. If you start thinking about it for 3 seconds, you know, she's all of a sudden going to make Eli Wallach, well again in about 30 seconds, and then they put together that big event for him in 2 days in the middle of the holidays, and, you know, none of it makes any sense whatsoever. But I don't care because I just like it.
Yeah. Well, you have. I remember last time you were on the show, you said you have a very high tolerance for bad movies.
I do. That is true. The most important requirement.
That. That's right. I love
right.
that.
Well, right. Yeah.
Well,
so.
Thanks for the people in the chat for suggesting their favorite movies. I'm glad somebody brought up Elf, because I just loved Will Ferrell in that movie. That was one of my favorite Will Ferrell's performances. And when
it was a good one. Didn't make my list, but I enjoyed that one too.
Yeah. When he and Zoe Deschanel sang "Baby, It's Cold Outside,"
that's my favorite part of the movie.
I just absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
So
the nice
thing
about Will Ferrell is that he just has this wholehearted cluelessness that makes him a very appealing character no matter what he does.
And I just look at him and I laugh. The same way with Jim Carrey, and the same way with Jack Black. There are some actors that just by their appearances, you know, they could just stand there and you'll laugh at them. At least they affect me that way. Well, we were also going to talk about what's coming up this holiday season in the multiplexes. that we might look forward to, I want to start out by mentioning I just cannot wait for the day before Thanksgiving, and the movie Australia shows up.
Oh, I'm seeing it tomorrow.
Oh, I'm so jealous. And Hugh Jackman and Nicole Kidman and a sweeping epic.
And Baz Luhrmann.
And Baz Luhrmann, who did Moulin Rouge. I just am going, yeah. Oh, I can't believe that we're going to get a great movie like that. And I hope it isn't a turkey.
I hope it isn't a turkey, too. I am a little bit nervous because they said that up until even this weekend, they were recutting it because of some concerns after the early screenings. And so, you know, they haven't even been able to give us a running time on it yet. They're really going down to the wire. I love Baz Luhrmann. All of his previous movies have just been sensational. You know, he made the Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio and Strictly Ballroom. And so I am, and of course, he and Hugh Jackman and Nicole Kidman are from Australia. They're telling their own story. So I'm very excited about it, and I'm really hoping that it's good.
That's the same way that I feel about it, and I hope it's a big hit. And I know there are some other movies coming out that I'm looking forward to, but none more than Australia. What else is coming up that you think will be a good bet?
Now? Well, one movie that I can tell you I've already seen and really, really loved and cannot wait to see again is Frost Nixon, which is the story of the David Frost interviews of Richard Nixon with both members of the Broadway cast, Michael Sheen and Frank Langella. And it is directed by Ron Howard, and it is simply superb. I just can't tell you how much I like that movie. I also really liked Sean Penn in the movie Milk, about Harvey Milk, the first out gay man to be in a major public elective office, and who was murdered, of course, by Dan White.
Can be assassinated, yes.
Yes, he was murdered by Dan White, who is played by Josh Brolin, you know, another fine performance by Josh Brolin, and it is just superb. Everybody in it is outstanding. Emile Hirsch, James Franco, who I think, you know, gets this year's Most Valuable Player Award. He's wonderful. And so I love that movie. Also coming out with a superb performance, a heartbreaking performance by Mickey Rourke, is The Wrestler, directed by Darren Aronofsky. I saw that last night.
Oh, you are so lucky now.
And Darren Aronofsky and Marissa Tomei were there to answer questions afterward. It is a very much like Requiem for Heavyweight, but a heartbreaking, heartbreaking story and a beautiful performance. It will just knock you over. Then I have not seen, but I'm really looking forward to Doubt with Meryl Streep and Philip Seymour Hoffman and Amy Adams, and also the Mysterious Case of Benjamin Button with Brad Pitt. That looks really good.
That's where
the previews for that. Yeah, I have to find some way to someday be able to watch a Marissa Tomei movie without thinking of My Cousin Vinny, because it just ruins everything else for me.
she won an Oscar for that too. So,
she
so
did.
You do, it's not. It's no wonder that you think about her. Well, those are great movies that you're talking about. I'm glad to hear that Frost Nixon is excellent, because I didn't care for the previews. I wasn't looking forward to it, but now after hearing you talk about it,
I really loved it. I'm also looking forward to Cadillac Records, which is the true story of a 1960s recording studio where they made songs with people like Etta James and a lot of the classic 50s and 60s performers.
And Beyonce?
She plays Etta James, yeah.
And
I saw her on Oprah talking about it.
Cedric
yeah.
the Entertainer, Mos Def. That I really am looking forward
to
that. I think
Mos Def is playing Chuck Berry. And,
wow.
Yeah, I love Mos Def. I think he can do anything.
I think he's wonderful. And anything with music in it, I'm usually right there. But I was thinking also of anything coming up that would be more family-oriented, kid-friendly. And I was looking at the previews of The Tale of Despero.
That looks great, doesn't it?
Well,
and
if there's a cuteness, if being too cute is a crime, that little mouse with the big ears is guilty.
Yeah, boy, that is true. And then this week we've got the new one from Disney, Bolt. I think everybody was shocked by how well Madagascar 2 did at the theaters. Do you know that it did so well? It was in the top 50 opens of all time. It was up there with Lord of the Rings.
Well, I, you know, when they were doing
Holy
that, move
cow.
It, move it, move it. I wanted to move it out of the theater, but
it is not great art by any means.
No.
It's hard for me to understand why it is so successful, but Madagascar. So I hope that reminds the industry that there is a big, big, very, very big audience for family films. And, Bolt is coming out next week in 3D and in 2D, depending on where you see it. And it's got the voices of John Travolta and Miley Cyrus, a cute story about sort of a Rin-Tin-Tinny kind of dog who gets separated from home and has to find his way back. And it's got some great voice talent. And, you know, just like with Madagascar, the best thing in the movie are the kind of the Greek chorus of in Madagascar, it's the penguins, and in this one it is the pigeons.
I can hardly wait to see it. And Bedtime Stories looks promising. I hope Adam Sandler redeems himself for that horrible You Don't Mess with the Zohan movie that he made.
Yeah, I'm not holding out a lot of hope for Adam Sandler because, you know, in a way, America is an enabler for bad behavior on the part of Adam Sandler. You know, as long as we keep buying tickets to his bad movies, he's just the laziest man in Hollywood, and he's going to keep...
I better slink off the show right now then because I actually pretty much enjoyed Zohan.
See, there you go.
Well, you see, there's a difference.
You know, Don't Mess with the Zohan had, you know, maybe 15 minutes of absolutely terrific material, and the rest of it was that it was supposed to be funny that he was having sex with old ladies.
Yes, I know. It was not his best effort. I also was excited about Marley and Me because I'm a sucker for movies about dogs.
Ah.
And then also we got Jennifer Aniston and Owen Wilson in that. So what have you heard about Marley and Me?
Well, I've heard that if you're a sucker for dogs, then you'll like it.
Good. I'm in.
How about if you're just a sucker
That's
for
great.
Jennifer Aniston?
I think you'll probably like that, too. Did you see her on 30 Rock last week?
I did. What a different role for her.
That's right.
I've never seen that show.
Funny show. It's really great. Okay, so, Jazz, what movies are you looking forward to this season?
Bolt was the only one that came to mind, and you already covered it. A lot of the stuff that is coming out that I saw the previews for didn't look that exciting. Most of it looked like that's going to go on my Netflix list. It takes a lot to drag me out to the theaters, and Bolt will probably do it. I like the quote already came up in the chat, you know, that they're using for the previews. I have a ball. As soon as I saw that, I was like, okay, I got to watch that.
Everybody likes that character the best.
Yeah, well, I think that they'll probably make a lot of money with that movie, and especially with Miley Cyrus connected to it, you can bet that it's going to be a big hit.
Yeah.
I wanted to spend some time, Nell, with you talking about your book, The Movie Mom's Guide to Family Movies. Could you tell us a little bit about that and what you were intending to do with it and what's been the reaction to it?
Oh, thank you. Well, it's in the second edition, so that's a pretty good reaction to it. It's my list, really, of what I consider sort of the indispensable family films, and I have it organized so that it's by topic, so that it really is a way for families to begin some important conversations that are sometimes hard to have about really sensitive issues like ambition and competition and trust and loyalty and communication. And I have movies for each of those categories, plus a lot of movies that are just for fun or movies about particular holidays or topics or sports or pets or whatever. And, you know, in each one I tell parents what it's about, why I think it's, you know, what kind of kids I think it's appropriate for in terms of their age and what's going on in their lives, and what they may want to do to make a craft project or talk about it afterward. And it really began when I was trying to find great movies for my kids, and I'm very happy to say my kids are grown up now, and they have their own Netflix subscriptions, and they are still going through all the classics, so I'm very happy about that.
Well, I would like you to tell everyone where they could get a copy of your book.
They can get it on Amazon. In fact, the first edition is available for a penny. You can't do any better than that. Second edition will run a little more, but it's up to date. And then, of course, you know, you can find a lot of the reviews on my website, moviemom.com at BeliefNet. And I'd love to hear from people anytime at moviemom@moviemom.com.
Well, I encourage listeners to check out your site and also to order a copy of your book, especially if they're interested in safe and fun, kid-friendly movies. I just applaud your work that you're doing in helping parents with this, because there's so much out there now that it's just frightening when I see some of the movies that parents are bringing their children to.
You know, when I met Marissa Tomei last night, she told me that a 7-year-old came up to her and started quoting her lines from My Cousin Vinny. You know, that's just horrifying to me.
It really is.
Yeah.
Movies, you know, have such an influence on everyone, and we start at an early age. But do you think that this past year has been very kid-friendly in terms of the movies?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's always, for me, the tough part is the most neglected audience. I think that, you know, every couple of months there is something good for the little kids, but we have very, very little coming out for, you know, say, 3rd through 8th graders, and that's why they keep watching PG-13 movies that are really not appropriate for them. There's a couple of good DVDs for that group that I was very pleased to see come out this year, both of them by coincidence starring Lucas Grabeel from High School Musical.
Yes.
One of them is called The Adventures of Food Boy, and one of them is called Alice Upside Down, based on the series of books by Phyllis Reynolds Naylor. And those, you know, so I'm really, really happy to see something for that age group, because I think they get overlooked too often.
I think
the really hard
too.
Trick is making family-friendly movies that are very kid-friendly, but still have enough entertainment value that it would stand alone, you know, for adults. And there's so few examples of that.
And most of them are made by Pixar, you know. I mean,
that's right.
So obviously it can be done. And the question is why more people are not doing it.
I know.
Barnyard, one of my favorite films, Barnyard, which I thought was very kid-friendly, and it was a great movie.
And
okay, Jazz, I'm sorry, we're going to have to disagree on that, because among other things, the boy cows had udders. And
right.
And there was
a death
in the movie that is really inappropriate, I think, for younger kids. And, you know, there's a lot of funny, silly stuff in it, but I was not surprised that it was not that successful.
And I missed that movie, so I'll check that one out on
DVD. Okay, then you can cast the deciding vote.
I will cast the deciding vote. I wanted to ask
you. Not having kids, apparently I'm not a very good arbiter of what's an appropriate movie for children. So
you're not writing a book to guide people, to guide families on what movies to get for their children. I wanted
exactly.
to ask Nikki if she has any question for Nell that she hasn't been able to ask yet. Nikki, anything you'd like to say to Nell?
No, I'm good. I just want to thank her. It's been a great show.
I think so, too. She's just done such a wonderful job, and so did Jazz. I want to thank you both for coming on the show today, and I want to wish you a happy holiday season, starting with Thanksgiving, which is it next week or the week after?
It is next week. It's a week from Thursday.
Holy
and that's
cow.
That is the day when the holiday season officially begins. And I just hope everyone has a great time at the movies or watching their DVDs. And Nell, will you please come back soon to Movie Addict Headquarters?
I would love to, especially if Jazz is back too. I really enjoy talking to him.
All right, we will set that up. This
and
is
I
Betty
want to thank everyone for not mentioning It's a Wonderful Life, because
hooray.
Burned out on it so much.
Hooray. Well, I'm glad about that. I'm glad about that too. This is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout out to all the folks at Blog Talk Radio for their support in connection with this show. Special thanks to my producer extraordinaire, Nikki Starr, for everything she does to make Movie Addict Headquarters happen. Thanks also to everyone who listened live or to the archives or who took part in the chat. We really appreciate it. Please come back next time for another lively discussion about movies. In the meantime, check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. As usual, to close the show, here's the talented A.J. Daniels with a song Nikki and I dedicate to all our Blog Talk Radio listeners.